and to show so they could see that he's got that kind of power. This man gets up because Jesus heals him. That shows the kind of power that rests in Christ. That's why over in the next few verses, when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" This is Matthew the 9th chapter later on. When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Just here in the same setting in Matthew chapter 9, it could have been, you know, some time later, but Matthew puts it together. There were these sinners coming to Jesus, and Jesus was associating with them. He's communicating with them. He's teaching them. He's trying to help them. And he's criticized for this. These other people who are the religious leaders, they think that this is an improper thing that Jesus is doing, associating with these sinners. Jesus explains why he's working with these sinners. They're sick. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And why has he come? Not to come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. You see what he connects there? He connects the spiritual condition, the spiritual disease of these sinner souls, with the fact that he's come to heal them, and he calls himself a physician. He equates himself to being a physician who's come to heal sick people. I've come to help sinners. Once again, here in Matthew, in the 9th chapter, Jesus is connecting the things that you're seeing him physically do to a power that he has to not just physically heal, but to spiritually heal. So here's the point of Jesus' miracles. They're impressive. They're overwhelming. But they don't exist in and of themselves. They were there as signs. They were there to prove who he was. They were there as evidence of his great might and ability. And what Jesus kept pointing to is the big deal here is not that I can do this physical healing, but I've come to provide a spiritual healing. So it's like when a kid goes to the doctor. You know, what do they do to kids, you know, to sort of help keep them calm and, you know, and they have a positive experience so next time they're not afraid of going to the pediatrician, they'll give them a little prize or a little sticker. "Oh, which one do you want? You want a dinosaur sticker?" And they have a little thing, a roll of them, they peel off a sticker and put it on their hand. And I want you to think about it. In a kid's mind, what is the big deal about going to the doctor? You get a dinosaur sticker. That's the big deal. Lori talks about this dentist that she went to when she was a kid. She says the best thing about going to this dentist, you know, most kids don't like going to the dentist, is that he had this prize drawer. He opened it up and there were all these plastic for little girls, a drawer for little girls, and all these plastic rings and like jewelry, necklaces or something. I think they were rings. And when he finished working on the teeth, you got to go over there and pick the one you wanted. This big old drawer, you got to pick the one that you wanted. Now, that's not why her parents took her to the dentist, so she can get a little plastic ring. These miracles that Jesus is working, the needs that people had with their paralyzed legs and their maladies, their diseases, they're small in comparison to the diseases of their souls. Jesus did the miracles to prove that he could do something greater. We should see the miracles, but see beyond the miracles to Jesus, to what it proves about what he can do for us, more importantly, spiritually. When we become concerned about the miracles and, you know, the healings and things like that, that's getting focused on the dinosaur stickers and the plastic rings. We've come to Jesus for something so much more important, a greater healing. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't heal everybody that he was around. Did you know that? He didn't heal all sick people on the earth. There are occasions that he didn't heal all sick people even around him on a given occasion, though he healed a lot of people. His miracles, they were there to prove that he is the great physician And their greatest need is a spiritual deliverance and the healing of our souls. And so go back to these two people when you consider the sign of the miracles. When you look at what Jesus did for these people, but really what the miracles prove, and I want you to think about what Jesus can do for us and what he can offer us regarding a spiritual healing and a spiritual deliverance and a spiritual help. And think about these two people. First of all, two big questions. Do you believe? And second of all, how does Jesus heal and deliver our soul? Don't you see in both of these cases that healing occurred because these people had faith in Jesus? Now, there were occasions when Jesus walked up and just healed somebody. And as a result, they concluded, who is this that can do this? But in these two cases, with Jairus and the woman with an issue of blood, they had faith in Jesus. And because they put that faith in him, they acted. The critical moment in both of these accounts is when the woman reached out to touch Jesus' garment. And when Jairus, after hearing the news that his daughter is dead, he turned and walked with Jesus to his house. Those are the two critical moments. And what had yet not happened? The healing. And I want you to consider this. This may be lacking in your life. And this might be why you haven't gotten the help from Christ that you want. This may be why you haven't been delivered from some things spiritually that you need deliverance from. This might be that you feel weak and not as strong as you would like to be spiritually. This may be why you're still struggling and burdened with some things that you've not gotten free from. You see, it's not until you act on your faith that oftentimes that you find healing and deliverance and help. But it's when you put your faith in him and act on what he says to do that oftentimes you find that healing. For instance, do you want to know the Lord and understand his will and blessings? Start reading the Bible. Do you really want to know what God's will is? Read the Bible. I mean, I'm not saying just, okay, I've got a question, I'm going to run to the Bible and get an answer. I mean, read it all the time. I mean, read it on a consistent basis. Before you even find dilemmas or encounter problems or have questions or have struggles, have faith that the answer's in there. Have faith that there's help in there. And read it. Read it all the time. Read it consistently. You read it because you believe it's the Word of God, and in it is His truth and His guidance. And you're going to act on it before it even gets to you. You may not know in the future what dilemmas and problems and misunderstandings and questions you may have, but it's an act of faith to go ahead and read the Bible now. We don't just read the Bible for something behind us. We're reading the Bible for what's yet ahead of us. You know what that is? That's an act of faith. Do you want peace and comfort from being close to God? You want God to give you peace and give you comfort? Pray. Pray, pray, pray without ceasing. Before you even feel any peace from God, before you feel any comfort, pray. It's an act of faith. I'm going to reach out to God in prayer because I believe that as I strengthen that connection with Him, I'll find peace and comfort. I don't know how I'm going to get it. I don't know when I'm going to get it. But I'm going to act in faith. And I'm going to pray and pray and pray. Do you want to be stronger in your faith? Do you want to be encouraged? Do you want to be lifted up? Do what God has told you to do. Assemble with the saints. Be with them. Study with them. Worship with them. Gather with God's people and bond with them. It's an act of faith. You're like, well, you know, sometimes I get things out of being in the assembly, sometimes I don't. You know, sometimes the lesson's okay, sometimes it stinks. Well, act in faith. Keep doing it anyway. You want a better marriage? Love your wife. You know, I don't have a very good marriage. My wife's like this and she's like that and she doesn't do this. She does that. Love her anyway. Love her. That's what God wants you to do. Love her. Do that out of faith. Don't wait until things get better. Love her anyway. Why? Respect your husband. Well, he's not very good at this and he neglects this and he overlooks that and he's always difficult here and there. I just don't have a very good marriage. I don't have a very good husband. Respect him anyway. Appreciate him anyway. Do what God wants you to do. Do it in faith. What's going to happen? Just trust God for it. Do it anyway. You want power over temptation? Get away from wicked things. You know, I want God to help me overcome temptation. Well, you've got to act on faith. You've got to act on the faith that God can help you with your temptations. But God teaches us to flee from temptation, to feast on what is good, to not cozy up to that which is wicked and dangerous, but get away from it. That's what God has told us to do. And if we act in faith, that's what we'll do. And guess what he will do? He'll help us. He'll help us if we act in faith. Do you want meaning in your life? Do you want direction in your life and purpose? We're all looking for that. We're all looking for the affirmation that my life counts for something, that I have a purpose to my life, that my life is going somewhere. Seek first the kingdom of God. Do what Christ has told you to do. Live for him and let that peace and that purpose and that direction, let it come later, because you're acting in faith to live the kind of life God wants you to live. If you, out of faith, live the kind of life God wants you to live and you put his kingdom first, then all that purpose and direction, it will come. Oftentimes what we do is we sit with our arms folded and we're like, well, I'm waiting for God to help me. I'm waiting for God to give me some answers. I'm waiting for God to deliver me. I'm waiting for God to heal me. I'm hurting. Have you reached out? For the healing and the help and the deliverance even comes, which is spiritual, is what Christ is promising us today. Because that's the purpose of the miracles anyways, to prove what he can do for us spiritually. And that's why you see the miracles tell off in the New Testament as well as in time. Because they were there to prove that Jesus was the Son of God. And he's there to be the great physician that can give us something so much better than legs that work and ears that hear. He's there to heal our soul, to make us right with God, to help us to be clean from our sins and have hope for eternity, to live forever. That's what he offers us. But we got to reach out to him. We got to reach out and touch him. We've got to go with him. Even before those answers come, even before that healing occurs, even before that deliverance occurs, we've got to go ahead and obey as an act of faith. And when that happens, he'll do his part. He always does. Touch. This is an interesting text when it comes to touch. And it has a direct bearing on us living today. Where after Jesus has been crucified and he's resurrected, and he's appearing to the apostles. But at first, minus Thomas. And we read in John 20, beginning in verse 24, "Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe.' 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe.' Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Do you see how Jesus talked about us? He offers Thomas the proof. Actually, it's interesting. I think if you look carefully, you'll see that before Thomas ever touched him, when he just sees Jesus, he's convinced. And then Jesus blesses him for that. But he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We believe because of the things that are written, according to what John writes here. We believe because of what we read in Mark, the 5th chapter, and Matthew, the 9th chapter. And the faith that he asks of us, because he indicates it here, is greater than the faith that Thomas had to muster. Thomas saw the Lord. We don't. He asks us to believe based on what is written. That he did those signs and he was who he was. And that he's our real, truly, our true spiritual physician. But if you want him to bless you and heal you and deliver you and help and provide you with help and assistance, if you want to be infused with life from him, we're asked to read these things. And we're asked to believe that he can give us help even before that help comes. That's the kind of people Jesus was looking for. That's why he blessed that woman who came to him. He was so impressed. He knew out of all the people touching him, he knew that someone had touched him and received that healing. And that somebody had touched him and received the healing without even asking for it. Without him even offering it. That's how much faith this woman had. And it's your faith that made her whole. Are you willing to reach out and touch Christ? Reach out and act upon what he said and move toward him with the complete confidence that somehow he's going to help you. In the way that you need him to, he's going to help you. Those are the kind of people that he's looking for. Will you be that kind of person? Well, we have one more song that's been selected that we're going to sing that will conclude things that we're doing today. We have more to do, but we're stopping at this moment to sing this song to prompt you to think about your soul before God and to consider what needs you may have and how that you might need to make changes in your life. If you're a believer in Christ and you need the assistance and encouragement of the brethren and you want to communicate that, be glad to consider what you have to say and your needs to assist you. If you need to commit your way to Christ, confess that you believe that he's the Son of God, then today, based on that confession and your decision to turn from sin, you can be baptized into Christ, or you can unite with Christ. You can unite with his death and receive the power of that death by having your sins cleansed and begin to live a new life for him. Not for yourself, but for him, which is the best life of all. If you're prepared to make that commitment, won't you come as together we stand and